Another episode of the Fancast Movies Podcast. We are a podcast about movies, and you can listen to us just about every week in a bunch of different places, on movies.com, on fandango.com, and on Audioboo, who thankfully they host this audio. And we're on iTunes, of course, because you have to be on iTunes if you're a podcast. So find us, Fancast Movies Podcast on iTunes. You can find a link to subscribe to this podcast in the post that you're reading this in. My name is Eric Davis, by the way. Hi. And I'm joined every week by Sean O'Connell. Last week I was at the Sundance Film Festival, and so Sean took a week off to relax and hang out in the foot of snow that he got down in North Carolina. Did you get a foot? I was looking at that map this week.
Right.
Because you are in the South. You know, everybody's making a big deal. The South was just completely shut down and annihilated by like 3 inches of snow. Right. Looking at the map, I saw Raleigh, North Carolina was getting like 8 to 12 inches. I was like, what? That's crazy. And I kept thinking about Sean O'Connell and whether or not he is bracing for this impact. Was it crazy? What is it like, The Walking Dead by you? Like, you as somebody who's living there.
Right.
What's going on?
We got an inch. 1 inch, and schools have been closed for 2 days. We're in day two of schools still being closed.
Wow.
There is nothing on the ground anymore, but the potential of anybody maybe stepping on a patch of ice sends everybody down here into complete anarchy. Now, I saw the Atlanta coverage of those people just abandoning their cars, and they couldn't get home. They had to sleep in their offices. We don't handle it very well down here. And so, yes, we got an inch of snow. It's almost all gone, but we're still dealing with the repercussions. We probably will shut everything down until spring, which starts around February here. But yeah, we don't handle it very well.
You know, it's a joke, and I feel bad because you know, people from the Midwest, from you know, New York, where I am, they look at something like this and they joke about it, but really, that kind of weather is so uncommon in the South that they just don't procure the resources to combat it. And these are people that don't know how to drive in it. They don't have salt trucks. They don't have anything, and they don't have money in their budgets to get that sort of stuff. And so when an inch or two fall, as weird as it may be to a lot of people, that entire shitty cities are brought to their knees, it does make sense when you realize that they have absolutely no resources to fight it and to, you know, get back on their feet. And it's sad. I think it's kind of sad that there are some cities in this country that this is like an inch of snow is nothing, just completely nothing. Everything goes on as the day goes on as normal. And then there are cities in this country where an inch of snow brings them debilitates them.
We declared a state of emergency, and yeah, we weren't alone. Like, it was Louisiana did, Georgia did, Mississippi, North Carolina. Like, if the threat of snow is coming, it's a state of emergency.
Well,
so, one thing people are not doing, they're not going to movie theaters. That's for sure.
They're not going to movie theaters, but I'm sure they're watching movies at home, and it puts them in a good position to watch Super Bowl this Sunday.
Yes.
Super Bowl is this Sunday. We're going to talk, I think, today. We're going to get to the new releases, it's an awkward moment.
That awkward moment.
There's an awkward moment, and that is it. That awkward moment, also Labor Day, Jason Reitman's Labor Day. The Monuments Men is not coming out this week. It's coming out next week, but I have seen it, and I can tell you a little bit about The Monuments Men and whether or not you should be excited for it. But first, the Super Bowl is this Sunday. Tons of TV spots, movie trailers, what have yous and whatnot. What are we looking forward to the most? What should people expect to see if you're a big movie fan? What big movies are going to show a little bit of what they got this Sunday? You know, Sean, you and I come from the same generation. We grew up, you know, kind of anticipating Super Bowl movie trailers, because this is really the first, you know, there was no online.
Right.
There was no premiere. A lot of these days, we can kind of see the Super Bowl trailers online before they even premiere on television. And to a certain degree, when you become an adult, that actually is good, because when you're an adult, you host Super Bowl parties. And you have to run around and cook stuff. Like me, I'm cooking barbecue and stuff like that. And you miss a lot of the TV spots. So when you're an adult, I think you actually value the fact that you can watch a lot of these spots online before the big game. But when you're a kid, and when we were kids, we didn't even know. Sometimes we didn't even know these movies existed until we saw them during the Super Bowl.
We had no idea that any of these movies were coming. You would see a commercial for something that was going to come out that summer, and it would be the first bit of knowledge you even had about it. And I really wish we could somehow get back to that phase. I know it's totally impossible. But, yeah, there was something really sweet and innocent about that.
There was. Nevertheless, it is still cool to see some of the first footage from these movies coming out. And let's talk about our most anticipated ones. Movies that are definitely going to premiere Super Bowl trailers. My most anticipated right off the bat, and I'll just tell you, is Captain America, the Winter Soldier.
Okay.
We're going to see a new TV spot for that film. And I think this is going to be my favorite Marvel movie so far.
Right.
I know. I'm getting ahead of myself.
Tell me why.
I'm getting ahead of myself.
Yeah.
Because I think, first of all, the first Captain America is my favorite Marvel movie to date.
Okay.
I really like what they do with that character. I love Chris Evans in the role. And I really like the director choice for this. The stuff that I saw at Comic-Con, I just flipped out for. There is a scene in this film where Captain America fights some guys in an elevator. And it just sort of it reminded me that Marvel can do the big sequences, but they can also really entertain you in small spaces with simple scenes. And I think Captain America, whereas Thor was sort of this really giant, movie that included trips all over the different realms and monsters and wada yada yadas, I feel like Captain America is going to be a bit more grounded. And they call it a throwback to a 70s spy thriller. And, hey, that just jazzes me up right there, too. I'm interested to see. This is going to be Scarlett Johansson, Black Widow. This is going to be her biggest role to date. I'm really interested to see them give her a lot more to do in a movie and see her character evolve. Anthony Mackie, I love. Frank Grillo, I love. Emily Van Camp, sure, why not?
Well, and they like the directors enough that they've already announced they're bringing them back for Cap 3.
Exactly.
So that really gives me a vote of confidence.
Yeah, that gives you a vote of confidence that they're really happy with Captain America Winter Soldier. Buzz, I mean, what you can even say Buzz, but Buzz is saying that it is among their best, and I just think they're going to knock this one out of the ballpark. It's just a feeling that I have, and I hope they do. So I'm really looking forward to seeing what they do with this Super Bowl TV spot.
Okay. I'm a glutton for punishment.
I know what you're going to say. I already know what you're going to say. I already know.
No, you don't. You don't. I'm going to surprise you because I'm not going to say The Amazing Spider-Man.
Really? Sean?
Well, we'll get to it because I'm hoping you're going to let me do another one. But I'm going to say that I'm most looking forward to seeing Transformers Age of Extinction.
Okay.
For all of these reasons that we sort of talked about, because we've seen Cap footage. We saw it in Comic-Con. We saw it in Hall H. We've seen a full trailer. We've seen – and even with the Spider-Man stuff, the reason why I wouldn't pick it necessarily is because we've seen a trailer. We've seen an international trailer. We saw the New York Times the Times Square footage on New Year's Eve. We've seen – so I got an idea of what's coming. With Age of Extinction, this is the closest we're getting to those golden days we used to talk about where you might know that a movie's coming, but you haven't seen anything from it. This is Bay's – really his first glimpse at it. And why I say I'm a glutton for punishment is that I have not enjoyed the past few Transformers movies, but I loved the hell out of Pain and Gain. And if Bay and Wahlberg are in a groove here, and if maybe, you know, Bay can figure out how to balance the amount of Transformers action that we need with, you know, some human characters that we can actually relate to, and I think Wahlberg might be able to deliver that, then Age of Extinction could be a return to, you know, the filmmaker that directed The Rock and Bad Boys and has really fallen down his own sort of wormhole of I have to keep topping myself. I don't know if it's necessarily the case. I think that this Transformers movie can be a reboot that the franchise desperately needs, even though it's still staying in the director's hands. We have new pieces coming into play, a potential new storyline that could take the series in a new direction. And they're already talking about the fact that they're sort of mapping out a fresh trilogy, you know, based around Wahlberg's character. I'm hearing really good things about the development of this sequel. And so I'm willing to give Bay a chance. And I think that if he just throws down a gauntlet and delivers a Super Bowl spot that has everybody talking about it the next day, then yeah, that could easily become one of the most anticipated films of the summer.
Yeah, I agree. I think I mentioned Transformers as being like one of my resolutions for 2014 and giving that sequel a chance, because right. I'm curious to see what they do when he's not tied to this original cast anymore. He's not tied to that storyline with the Shia LaBeouf and all that stuff. So I'm curious to see, yeah, how does he reinvent this franchise?
Right.
What does he do? Is he going to just do the same exact Transformers movie just with new people in it? Or are they really coming at it from a different approach? And that's what I'm really interested in seeing. I think this Super Bowl TV spot, among all of them, is going to be the one that people probably are going to be the most interested in, for all the reasons that you say. And I think this is, and correct me if I'm wrong, but in terms of really big movies, in terms of summer blockbusters, this is the only Super Bowl TV spot that we're getting where we haven't seen any footage from yet. Is that true?
I think that's the case, because everything else is kind of Need for Speed and Draft Day and things that have already released trailers. I'm hearing we might see an Expendables 3 clip, but if we don't, then yeah, then this is going to be the first chance that we have to see some Transformers footage. And on the flip side, we always sort of do this balance too. If it's just chaotic mess and noise, then the storyline from here until the movie opens is just going to be, oh, great, more, you know, Bayos, as they call it. And it's all of a sudden going to fall down everybody's lists of we don't want to see this anymore. So this TV, a lot riding on this.
Yeah, so this TV spot has to say, here's Transformers 4. Here's what you love about the Transformers movies. We still have it, but here's why this movie is completely different than the other three.
I think so.
I think that's what it has to accomplish in this 30-second TV spot. And I'm curious to see what they do. You know, is it just going to be clanking robots just blowing cities, blowing up? Or is it going to really show us something different?
Maybe humor. I would like to see some humor in the spot, you know? I'd like to see what Wahlberg is bringing to the table and maybe get a little bit of an idea. Because we know that Bay can do action if he can just sort of get a handle on it. I want to see some humor in the spot.
I agree. So also we're looking at other TV spots that people should expect then, despite the Amazing Spider-Man 2, we said. That's going to have a TV spot. Draft Day, which is online now.
Which I've seen, actually.
You've seen the movie Draft Day?
I don't know if I can talk about it. Yeah, I did see the movie.
I don't know if you know what?
I don't think I can talk about it. Well, all right, humble brag. I was able to see the movie, but I can't talk about it just yet. It was a really early screening of it, and the studio wanted us to get an idea of whether they had something special on their hands. And I love Costner, so I think I can say I enjoyed it. Can I say that?
I don't know.
I got to clamp down.
He's going to clamp down. Draft Day hits theaters April 11th. Sean O'Connell loves Kevin Costner. He may or may not have enjoyed the movie. But yeah, so Draft Day is going to have one.
Need for Speed with Aaron Paul.
Need for Speed with Aaron Paul, which is a big movie for Aaron Paul, because this is sort of like, is this guy going to break out and become a big screen star? He was on Breaking Bad. He won Emmys. Is he going to he won. Did he win an Emmy? He won an Emmy for Breaking Bad.
He did,
yeah,
yes.
Right?
Yeah, finally.
Yeah, so.
And also, you know, we don't have a Fast and Furious movie coming out this year.
No.
So this could be the auto fix that, car junkie fans are looking forward to. Because it seems like the stunts in this one are going to be at the level of the Fast and Furious movies. And it's just a matter of whether people are going to follow Aaron Paul into the movie theaters.
I'll tell you, though, I saw at the Sundance Film Festival, I saw The Raid 2, the sequel to The Raid. And
tell me about that.
I'll tell you. It is it was an uncut version. So it was the version that he was showing before he showed the MPAA the movie. So I imagine there's going to be some. It was like over 2.5 hours, crazy long, too long. But the action sequences in this film blew my mind. Just blew my mind. Nobody, the director, his name's Gareth Evans. Nobody is doing action like this guy is doing right now. And, you know, we mentioned Fast and Furious, Need for Speed. There is a car chase sequence in The Raid 2 that will literally blow your mind. You have not seen – most of you have never seen an action sequence – a car chase sequence like this before.
Okay.
It is just crazy.
Well, now I've seen both Cannonball Run movies, so –
Oh, well, yes. But, you know, it's going
– since then.
I think it's an instant classic in terms of car chase sequences go. Okay. And it just made me think, like, wow, if this guy directed a car chase movie. And, you know, I walk out of The Raid 2, and the story is not all together. I'll give it that. It's, you know, they inject more story in it than the first Raid. But the story is a little convoluted, and the action sequences are so good – that they overpower the story to the point where whenever they do get to the story, you're like, when's the next action sequence? You're like jonesing for it.
Okay.
I think that and I know they're doing another Raid movie. I think in the third Raid movie, they need to find a way to balance story with the action so that way you're invested equally in both. But you also watch The Raid 2 and you say, wow, if they found a smart script, an action script, and let this guy go wild on it, kept it R-rated – you know, old school R-rated action pick. I think that we would start seeing some action that we haven't seen in a long time, and it would force everybody to kind of step up their game. And I think he's already doing that. But yeah, I mean, just action sequences that'll blow your mind. So really looking forward to seeing what people think about that when that comes out. But yeah, Raid 2 is not going to have a Super Bowl TV spot, unfortunately.
No. Muppets Most Wanted will.
Muppets Most Wanted is, I think
Same
it's got a, yeah, it's got a tie-in with Toyota, I think, right?
Yes, it does.
So you'll see Muppets Most Wanted TV spot. What else?
Noah, and the Noah TV spot is actually online right now. This is the golden age of Super Bowl teases where you actually get them a few days early. And I, you know what? I'm totally on board with Noah. I thought the trailer looked great, and I was a little bit concerned that it was going to be heavy-handed, but, you know, it's director Darren Aronofsky. And
I'm on board too, yeah.
I like Russell Crowe casting the part, and I think that the CGI that they're using for the wave, which gets, you know, showcased in this new Super Bowl spot, looks really exciting. It's just so funny. It's going to be fun sitting in a Super Bowl party and hearing people's reactions to, you know, them not knowing that these movies are even coming. Because I think when people start to hear that Russell Crowe is doing the story of Noah, I think they're all going to be really surprised by it. And
yeah.
You know, but that spot looks really good. And
I think with that movie, people who are personally connected to the to these stories because of their beliefs, they grew up hearing the Noah's Ark tale. I think you have to sort of disconnect from what you think this story is,
right?
And sort of just consume this movie as its own thing. Yes, Noah tied to the tale, Bible, yada, yada, yada. But disconnect from that, and I think you'll probably enjoy the movie more. Because it is going to add some crazy wild things. There's going to be mythological creatures, and there's going to be some stuff where you're like, I don't think that was in the Noah's Ark tale I was told when I was a kid. So I think if you kind of separate yourself from what you think you know this story is and should be, it'll allow yourself to open up to stuff that's in this movie that maybe you never thought was involved in this story.
Well, and after that, I think it's all up to, like, are we going to be surprised by any, you know, trailers that haven't been announced but might sneak through?
Like from what? I mean, Guardians of the Galaxy, that they said that's not going to be there, right?
Right. James Gunn said he isn't going to do anything. Warner Brothers has already said that they haven't purchased any spots, so you won't see Godzilla and you won't see what other major one that they have coming up. I'm not sure, but I would love to see Fox do an X-Men Days of Future Past one. You know, they've been so heavy promoting this one with these Empire covers that have rolled out recently, and it seems like they're really ramping up the marketing for it. If they dropped a spot in the middle of the Super Bowl, I think that would have people talking.
I'd rather see a Dawn of the Planet of the Apes TV spot. I feel like I've seen so much X-Men stuff already that I'm okay. I don't need to see a TV spot. But the Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, the first trailer that was released was basically what they showed at Comic-Con.
Right.
And I really want to see. I want to see how they've evolved the effects of the apes. I'm really just itching to see a little bit more of that film, because I really like, in terms of franchises that are now beginning to evolve and grow past their originals, that is one of the ones I'm most anticipated for. I just like where they're going with it. I like the director. Matt Reeves is a really good director, really smart director. It reminds me of Rian Johnson. And the effects in the first one were brilliant. And I just like where they're going with it, you know?
Well, cynically, I just want to be surprised by something.
Yeah.
I want to see something that we didn't anticipate coming and something that really gets us ramped up for a blockbuster, for a pending blockbuster.
Surprises Hollywood. But those are what you should expect to see this Sunday. Of course, interspersed with movie-related TV spots. There's one where Lawrence Fishburne reprises the Morpheus role from The Matrix. You could see that. There's a really funny one on British villains, on why the Brits are always the villains in movies. Tom Hiddleston is in it. Who else is in it?
Ben Kingsley,
Ben
right?
Kingsley is in it.
Yeah.
And it's a really cute little spot. That's online, yeah, too. And we're going to have a roundup of all of these spots, the ones specifically tied to movies, ones that are movie-related, and just other spots that we think are cool.
And there's going to be a football game played, too.
And there's going to be a football game played. My prediction are the Broncos. I think Denver is going to beat Seattle in the cold, frigid New York.
Okay. Yeah, what's it going to be like? Now, okay, so you did weather by me. Now do weather by you. This is timely and relevant.
Weather by you. We're using weather as transition, as we transition to talk briefly about the new movies. But yes, it is going, as of right now, they're looking at sort of like a rain snow mix overnight into Sunday. But then by Sunday, by game time, it should be clear and perhaps even the mid 30s. And we haven't seen the mid 30s around these parts in a long time. I came home from Sundance. It's even colder in New York than it was in the mountains of Utah, believe it or not. And it's been frigid here. It's been in the low 20s, high teens with a wind chill that's got to be near zero. Every time I come inside from being outside, I usually mutter the same thing, like it's too cold to exist out there right now.
Cold to sit there and watch a football game is what you're saying.
Well, by Sunday, if it's in the mid 30s, they might be okay. It's still going to warm up a little bit, I think, for the big game. I mean, I don't know if they're ever going to do this again, the NFL. I think it's going to, after this, they're going back to warm weather stadiums. I would have loved to just see them play in a snowstorm,
right?
You know, but I don't know if we're gonna get one of those old school, you know, but it'll be cold, definitely, and it'll add an interesting element to the Super Bowl. And that's why I'm kind of liking the fact that it's here in New York. We have movies coming
ticket?
Out.
Come on, you must have got a ticket, right? You're Eric Davis.
Of course not. I don't have a ticket. That's one game that's hard, a little hard to get a ticket. If my Giants were in it, I would have moved mountains, but I don't have a ticket, unfortunately. But I am making some Kansas City barbecue. I do what I do for my Super Bowl party is I usually order barbecue from the best places in the country that ship their barbecue online. I have done a couple of years in a row the Salt Lick, which is based out of Austin, Texas. Yes. It's about 40 minutes from Austin. Really great barbecue. They ship their barbecue and it comes out great. This year I opted to go with a place in Kansas City. Okay. That was recommended to me by a publicist at Paramount who grew up in Kansas City and knows their barbecue very well. And so she recommended this Kansas City place. And so my barbecue is provided by Kansas City, City of Kansas City this year.
Listen to the talk you get on this podcast. You get weather reports. You're getting barbecue recommendations.
We do get a lot of different conversations. Unfortunately, that means we only have like 5 minutes left to talk about the new movies. But let's go quickly. Labor Day, sat next to a Toronto. I liked it. I'm a sentimentalist, though. I think it's a movie for sentimentalists. It's a movie for people that sort of like those notebook-style tear jerkers.
Yeah, it's one of those ones where I think we both said this when we came out of it. You can buy into the emotions of it more than the sort of narrative. And if you want to be cynical and sort of nitpick it, it's very easy to do so because this whole setup of a convict played by Josh Brolin, I almost said James Brolin, played by Josh Brolin, you know, breaking into the home of a lonely sort of agoraphobic woman played by Kate Winslet, it's a little bit hokey. I get that. But once you dial into the performances and the sentiment behind it all, I think that worked for both of us. So.
Yeah, it did definitely work for me. That awkward moment, neither of us have seen, unfortunately.
Right.
But it'll be an interesting movie to see whether or not we can still sell teenagers on the rom-com genre. And that's what I'm interested to see, whether or not this film helps that, because we don't see many rom-coms with kids these days.
Right, and it's also Zac Efron trying to grow up, you know, trying to distance himself from that Disney Channel image still, which I think he's successfully sort of doing. And we might also be seeing half of the Fantastic Four at play. Miles Teller and Michael B. Jordan on screen.
Who are two of my favorite upcoming actors right now. Let me just tell you, Miles Teller was in the movie that won Sundance. It's a movie called Whiplash that I loved the hell out of. And this is a kid that is just, I think, is going to be one of the next great actors. And because, especially in Whiplash, he does a complete, you know, if you're used to seeing Miles Teller as this wisecracking and spectacular now, he was also the, he did the same thing in, I always confuse 21 and Over and Project X. He's in one of them. You know, you kind of know him as that guy. Well, he does a complete 360 in Whiplash, and he shows how versatile he is, this kid. And I'm really excited to see him. He kind of flirts with different things. He does some big movies, some small movies, some independent movies. I think that's what you have to do to sort of jump around like that. Shailene Woodley is also jumping around like that. And I like him. I like him a lot. Michael B. Jordan, too. Fruitvale Station. Excellent movie. So just knowing those two guys are in it kind of makes me excited for it.
Yeah, I'm excited about it, too. I'm surprised that they didn't screen it a little bit more for critics. I would have tried to check it out. I just didn't get a screening in my market, unfortunately. February means bigger things are coming. We're going to do a big February tease probably next week, because I know we have a couple of really big movies, and you were able to see The Monuments Men.
I was able to see The Monuments Men, and I was middle of the road on The Monuments Men. I liked it. I think it's a good throwback if you kind of grew up watching old war pictures with your father, you know, 50s, 60s. That's what it feels like. This isn't Ocean's 11 style caper movie, caper comedy. If that's what you're looking for, this isn't it.
Well, it's got a great. I thought it was gonna be.
It's got a great ensemble, and George Clooney does a commendable job directing it, and it's very respectful and earnest regarding its story, which is a true story about these kind of guys that worked in the art world that were sort of put together. They weren't soldiers. They had nothing. They were as far from war as they would. Most of them were in their 50s or 60s, and they were put together and sent over into countries that were still fighting, and sort of injected into the war in order just to find these lost pieces of art that were hundreds of years old and get them away from the Nazis before they could destroy them.
Okay.
And it's a really interesting story that nobody really knew that this kind of stuff went down. It's Argo-esque in a way.
Okay.
But it is definitely a throwback more so than a comedic caper, which you may think it is by seeing, you know, guys like Bill Murray and Bob Balaban and John Goodman in the cast. But it's a great movie for adults, and which is something that we don't get a lot of. So if you're an adult and you're like thirsty for something to hit theaters that you can go see The Monuments Men. I think you'll like it.
Okay.
But on that note, Sean, and on the howling of your dog saying,
"My dog is getting all fired up," here
saying, I can go out in an inch of snow. That's what the dog is saying. I can go out. I'm okay. I don't need to stay in. Please let me out of the house.
Exactly.
But on that note, Sean, we will come back again next week and do this whole Diddy Day thing again, and maybe we'll kind of look back at the Super Bowl TV spots and see which one was the most successful and which one was not. And we'll talk maybe a little bit more about The Monuments Men and these films that we have coming out down the line, including the Lego Movie, which you see on Saturday with your son.
Yep, I'm looking forward to that. I'm totally looking forward to getting into February as a whole. It seems people have written January off, which might be wise, and we have better things on the horizon.
We do. We do have a lot of things coming on the horizon, and very exciting things. So, Sean, enjoy the rest of your weekend, and I hope that they dig you out of your hole soon.
Send help. Send bread and milk, please.
But I hope you are able to leave your house soon and that your kids are able to go back to school soon, and I hope that everybody is safe down there and that they get some that people, maybe go to Home Depot and buy a bag of salt.
salt goes on margaritas down here.
I hear you.
Not on our roads.
Sean, you have a great week. Thank you for joining me, and you listening to us. Thank you very much for listening. We are the FanCast Movies Podcast, and you can catch us every week. He is Sean O'Connell. My name is Eric Davis, and enjoy your weekend at the movies.